Hello and welcome to All Tomorrow's Festival. So this is a content series, if you're here for the first time, that is exploring the ways in which the Edinburgh Festivals in August, all the different things that happen in Edinburgh, can be signals for the future of the arts and entertainment and kind of the world as we stand. This week we are talking, or in this episode, sorry, because there's so many episodes, it's not weekly at all. So in this particular episode, we're talking to Catherine Gordon. The show is a journey of flight. It's a really interesting thing in so many ways. Let's get into it in a second. Just to introduce myself. So I'm Nick Sherrod, an MD of Label Sessions and also a slightly reluctant futurist. I'm joined by our content producer, Josh Nixon.
Hi.
So Josh, you had the conversation, you led this one. It's a really interesting story. It's a really interesting piece involving dance in a way that we haven't covered so much yet in this kind of series. And it's also created in Scotland, but specifically created in Shetland. How do you find the whole kind of journey of this entity?
Yeah, so this comes from Shetland, of course. So Catherine, you know, talked to me a little bit about how it sort of was conceived and thinking about, you know, the nature of sort of bird migration, how that relates to us and our memory and how memories are tied to location. She said it came from like a sort of visual in her mind of like these sort of sheets hanging from the roof and how, you know, that's sort of reflected in her mind as a dance. And one thing that I really loved about this conversation that comes up throughout is, you know, that memory thing. And she was talking about how she interviewed people across Shetland, interviewed 10 women in Shetland, one of them being her own daughter, which I thought was quite nice, as like a sort of, you know, thinking of memory and sort of from a perspective of like a childlike perspective of like how it focused a lot more on feeling and touch. We delve into a lot more too about, you know, how Made in Scotland him really helped it come to be in her sort of schedule and that sort of thing too.
Yeah, that's one of the the thing we refer to there as the memory thing is one of the emerging themes so far. But also in lots of the interviews that aren't live on Spotify yet, but maybe in the few coming days. There's a real kind of theme this year around memory and heritage. To a certain degree, and place to a certain degree. So there's some really interesting themes around that here. But also one of the other things which is really striking this year is just how big and diverse the festival is, but to some extent how little Scottish work there is in some of the program, especially in the fringe program. But this is an exception to it. So this is a really interesting piece of work from Scotland and from Shetland. Let's get the mechanics for those of you who are getting to Edinburgh this year. It's at 2:30 in the dance space, which is part of Assembly, if you're going doing that ticketing thing this year. But a really interesting show. Let's head in. We'll go into the conversation and we'll just talk about it a little bit at the end.
Catherine, thank you so much for taking time to sit down and talk to me today. I really appreciate it. I know it's very busy in the run-up to August, and you're already doing the show as it is. So I'd love for you just to kick us off with a little bit what the show is about and what audiences can expect this year when they come see it at the festival.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We're thrilled to be able to talk about A Journey of Flight. It is a 50-minute dance piece, and it is performed in the round. And it's in the round because we have metal wires hanging across the space that have sheets hanging over them. And they are actually repurposed road underlay from a very large controversial wind farm, which is both saving our habitats and also has had quite a detrimental effect on a lot of the birds that live there at the moment. So we realise that we need it and absolutely advocate for renewable energy, but we're also aware of that kind of immediate impact it's having on some of the birds. The piece is very much so inspired by bird migration. I live in Shetland and I see a lot of birds flying around by my house, and I'm not scientific about this at all. So I'm not looking at them and finding out their Latin name and what they do as a species. But I have really appreciated since moving home, noticing the change of the seasons with the arrivals and departures of different birds and actually what that means to people. And everyone kind of notices the habitats around them and who you're sharing them with, and the noise of them is very apparent. So that was where we took our original inspiration from. We're working with Jenny Sturgeon, who is a brilliant composer, who's actually also based in the village that I live, but she has a great scientific knowledge of birds. And so has taken a migratory score of the red-necked phalarope to create the music for the piece. And some of the time she created the music and we created dance in response, or we created dance and she created music in response. We also have visuals, which are made by Alison Piper, who's a Glasgow-based artist, and she works with 16mm film, and there's footage of birds, but there's also kind of more abstract footage of some of the bog and feathers. We also, JJ Jimmison, who's a local filmmaker, gave us this gorgeous footage of in lockdown. He went up a hill with lots of bread rolls and put a camera in the bread rolls, so all the birds swoop around it and swoop down to get it. So you actually get this view of the birds above you. So we're using that footage because a lot of the time when you watch footage of birds, it's from the side. Actually, it's so amazing to have them swirling above for the dance piece. And there's two dancers. So I perform in it alongside Georgia Felina, and we dance around these sheets. And as the piece goes on, we kind of engage with them a bit more and move them as we make nests. And we also kind of lift them up at the end. Yes, it's the piece has very much so taken its inspiration from the bird migration. But actually, the more I looked at it, it really felt like I was exploring what home was to me. And nostalgia of returning to places. And it also made me think about why people move and why they need to move and how their habitats and their environments are changing. So even the need to move for work or to move home for family. So we really thought about the kind of emotional side of why you move home and that feeling and what home means to you and to lots of others. And I really hope that when audiences come, it kind of makes them reflect on what home means for them.
Oh my God. There's so much to unpack there. It sounds absolutely incredible. The other thing that I remember, I've seen you say in sort of other interviews and stuff, is that you interviewed people who are local to Shetland too, to get a little bit of a feel in terms of like that sort of emotional connection there too.
Yes. Well, one thing I really don't want to do in any of my work is say, this is how other people feel. it's just me sharing some of my feelings or ideas. And what felt really important was to ask other people what home was to them and how they felt in the environment. And wherever possible, to start within the piece, I worked with women identifying people so that I just had children and I realized how difficult it was to work at the same time. So wherever possible, I was kind of prioritized working with an all-female team, which has changed. We are now working with a whole range of people, which is brilliant. But wherever possible, I'm still trying to work with island-based creative practitioners, just because so often it's difficult to get more creative work in the Isles. So we're actually, the producer we're working with is based in the Outer Hebrides. So we're actually working across Scottish Islands as well. But yes, it felt very important to engage with other people to see what home was for them. So we engaged with 10 Shetland-based women. And one of them was actually my daughter, who's only 4. So we asked her what home meant to her and what her hopes and dreams for the future there are. And we also worked with a lot of different people. One person that we engaged with is someone who works for the RSPB. So asking them about what home was for them and their hopes and dreams for the future, they really came out with that kind of environmental aspect and how we can create appropriate habitats for everyone. And what really came across was that kind of welcoming sense and how we can welcome people here. And I've got to say, it's really lovely having those Shetland voices when we go to different places, because when we're dancing and you get to hear these people talking about home, it feels really lovely and really nice to share with audiences.
No, it's really incredible too that you've gotten such a wide age range, like saying you're asking your daughter. It's really important, I think, to, you know, capture that sort of childlike essence of what home is, I think.
Absolutely. And the children that we engaged with, they really talked about like wearing jackets. They really were like, oh, well, I look outside. And one of them said about having their feet in the water and laying in the sun. And it really showed for me, I think when you live in Shetland, you're so engaged with the environment, like the weather is so important here and you're out in it. You are exposed to the elements. And that really came across even from the children. We also engaged with an artist who really talks about islandness and about those borders and how land changes all the time. So how we're always exposed to the tide and the sea and this changing landscapes all around us. So that feels very relevant to the themes of the piece.
Obviously, you've been taking this around around the country already, but I'd love to talk a little bit more about why you're bringing it to, like, why now specifically that the show is so important to you.
I made the piece 2 years ago with funding from Shetland Arts, so we got commissioned to make the work. And I did apply for some other funding since then that didn't work out. And we're really doing it this year because we have received funding. So we've got funding from Creative Scotland's Touring Fund for Theatre and Dance, and we're halfway through that nationwide tour. And we're actually going to tour again at the end of this week. We're going to Eden Court in Inverness and then Tramway in Glasgow. And we're going to take the piece home again in October. So it's going to come back to Mareel. And that has really given us the time to develop the work and go deeper into what we already had. When we originally made it at Shetland Arts, which is absolutely brilliant state-of-the-art venue, Mareel, in the centre of town. And this time, when we were bringing the team back to Shetland to work on it, we actually decided to make the piece at a community hall so that it was closer to where I was and we were actually just a bit more in the environment. And that was a really great decision because not only could we feel kind of embodied where we were, but it meant that we could make a piece that could tour to smaller venues and we could see how it would look in community halls as well. So we did that in February and we took it off on tour for March. This year as well, we've been really lucky to receive Made in Scotland funding. So Made in Scotland is the Scottish showcase. So kind of this year they've selected 16 excellent pieces of dance and theatre and music, and they are presenting them and welcoming programmers from all around the world to come and see those shows. So that's really exciting and we're really thrilled to bring it to the Fringe. I feel really passionately about the Fringe representing people from all across Scotland. And for me, it's really exciting that there's a Shetland piece going to the Fringe as part of the Made in Scotland showcase. We are so, like, I work at Shetland Arts as well, and we regularly welcome an awful lot of touring productions, and they are often from the mainland touring to the peripheries. And it really excites me to be creating work from them and taking them down. And it kind of challenges the touring model that we get so used to expecting.
No, there's so much to unpack there. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually, is when you've been taking the show around, like, how has it evolved, which you've obviously answered there, but how does it differ, you know, doing it in such a small place like a community hall versus, you know, a bigger venue like, say, some of the places that you're doing at the Fringe or elsewhere? It sounds fascinating how you've been able to cram it down into like a smaller place.
One thing that's great, we did it in Bigton, which is just over the hill from where I live, and Bigton has such a good community. I wasn't really knowing what to expect from the performance there because it was a Sunday night. It was a bit more of a sharing as opposed to a performance, but there was 50 people that came. So you still get the audience.
Awesome.
People are really engaged, and actually it can be very difficult to get large audience numbers for contemporary dance anywhere. So, and luckily we've had a lot of people come so far. It's been a really successful tour. But I would say that our show in Bigton was just as big and just as important, and we engaged with just as many people. So that was great.
The reason why I asked that is just because the vision for the show just sounds so grand that it sounds fascinating. Like you say, that it can have such a versatility in where you can take it.
It's so nice that you see it as really grand, because I really just tried to keep it authentic to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so we're looking at birds. We're taking this migratory pattern as a score. And the more we dug into it, the more those feelings of nostalgia were coming up. And I guess that's when the themes kind of expanded, but we always brought it back to that bird. It's actually, there's a loch in front of my house and there's this tiny bird that goes there every year, and it's got one of the largest migratory patterns that they've ever recorded. And it's only been in recent years that they've been able to record it, because technology has had to expand enough that you can have these tracking devices small enough to fit on these really tiny birds. So they go over to South America and North America, and then they come all the way to Shetland. So they fly all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, and they're really tiny, and they're one of the rarest birds that we have in Britain. And so that's really what inspired me. When we spoke to these Shetland-based women about what home was to them, one of them actually brought up, like, what if you're doing that migratory pattern, and what if you go to the other side of the world and it's not there? And for me, that scared me, because we are often doing mass developments as people without always thinking about the impact it has on the habitat and all of the different species all around us.
I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about you know, what's exciting for you right now in terms of not necessarily just your show, but, you know, well, like wider in terms of contemporary dance or performance art? I know that's a very big question to ask.
It excites me to be sharing the work with lots of people. So often, I don't know if you've heard of that phrase, like if a tree falls in a forest, can it And a lot of my work I'm doing by myself because there's not other dancers in Shetland, and as a dancer so often you actually want to engage with people and engage through movement with people, and so much of my practice has become quite solitary just out of necessity. So actually one of the things that I've really loved about the tour is dancing with people and engaging with audiences and speaking to them after and seeing how it landed and what it brought up for them. And I guess looking back at the themes of migration, what's exciting the most for me is actually the engagement we're getting out of it and how it can travel, and it lets us meet more people and lets us have that conversation elsewhere about what home means for them and how it's changing, and how actually we want to travel. That kind of human need for connection means sometimes we need to have migration too and learn about different cultures and places. And really in particular, looking at how the work sits in other places is very interesting, and I've really loved meeting people.
You know, that's a great answer. And, you know, that brought me back to, you know, the, you know, meeting people and the theme of collaboration too, is how involved have you been and how did it come together? Like, you know, bringing all these pieces in of like the wonderful 16 millimeter film that you mentioned, or like the score from Jenny, and how involved have you been in sort of creating all those different things, or have they all sort of been some of the role parts where they've came together at the end?
So with A Journey of Flight, one thing that's been very clear from the start is conflict. I kind of had this vision for it in my head about these sheets hanging and us dancing in and through them.
Yeah.
And so that's almost what started it. And that was what we needed to do first. Like, how do we make this work? How do we get these wires hanging across the space safely and hanging this material? And I worked with the technical manager here, and we just played about in the space until we kind of found something that worked. With all of the different parts, it really has been a bit conversational. So sometimes we've made it. We made the dance first. There was myself and the other dancer in the studio. And because my concept's been so clear, it was quite easy to start and to have creative tasks that came very much so from that immediate first reaction of looking at this migratory pattern as a score and how do we move around the space in relation to that. And afterwards, it was kind of building on those kind of emotions and ideas. So we could very clearly show that movement to the other collaborators. So I remember when the filmmaker came up, we kind of showed her what we'd done, and we'd spend a few hours together in the space with the musician as well. And actually then the musician and the filmmaker would go off and create things so that the next day we could layer them all together.
Nice. Going back to the sort of wider scope of things, you know, you're talking a little bit about what's excited you about the piece, and indeed the sort of, you know, what's concerning you in the world right now. But what is it that's, you know, what's scaring you? Is there a sort of danger to the art form that you find yourself in right now?
Contemporary dance always feels quite precarious. I think we rely heavily on funding. We rely heavily on other people and on audiences. If there's no audiences, we've got no one to share the work to. So that always scares me a bit, I think, because we're relying on subsidy to make things happen. But at the same time, a lot of greatness comes out from that kind of precarity of the situation, I think. And people are very determined to continue to make things. I think once you're a dancer, you're always a dancer, and you feel this need to move and this need to share and connect with people through movement. So often that can be overcome. Scotland has a really strong contemporary dance community, and I think that they're very supportive of one another, which is particularly led by the Workroom in Glasgow, who do an awful lot of work in engaging with everyone and facilitating conversations so that people can feel part of that community. When thinking about what scares me about the work and contemporary dance, I can't help but think about how our human impact on the land scares me. And that really does terrify me, that I might look out the window one day and not see the birds flying around.
Yeah.
And particularly as we're dealing with hotter temperatures and climates are changing, I think it's becoming really apparent for people that we need to do something to change this. And what scares me a lot in Shetland is we are being very forward thinking and doing an awful lot for renewable energies. We're building a very, very large onshore wind farm, which is definitely, I'm not trying to speak for everyone, but we understand that we need to do things to save the environment. But it's very difficult to see when that might make it uninhabitable for people, and is certainly having an impact on the birds and the peatland, which is a carbon store. So it feels very juxtaposed, and there's definitely mixed opinions up here of what that is. And I'm not trying to say anything political with the piece. I don't want to be coming forward with an opinion on either of that things, but it is very apparent, and it's so visually striking that you almost can't not think about it. The other thing that scares me when going on tour is travel disruption. So obviously we live in Shetland, and it can be very precarious getting off the isle. So that always worries me when we're going on tour. I also have two young children, and it worries me that they get the spew bug. We all get the spew bug when we're going on tour, because that has actually happened before. And it's actually just that there's nothing you can do to control that. There's having young children mean that your situation can change in the blink of an eye. And you just need to make sure that everybody's well and everybody's happy with what you're doing, and making sure that my decisions professionally, whether I'm going away, am I taking them with me, and making sure that it supports the whole family as well and is good for all of us.
Yeah. A final thing that I wanted to ask you that's a little bit more upbeat and a little bit less scary is, you know, I know that you're going to be caught up with a lot of, you know, doing the show. It's a big commitment. What is it that's exciting you most about August this year? Is it to see, you know, other shows? Is there anything else that you have in mind?
I just am so excited to do the show over and over again in a row, because I feel like we're going to really get deep into what it means and the movement material and sharing it with different people each day. And what we've felt so far about the tour, and the tour is non-consecutive, so we are going to a venue and then I'm coming home, and that's really just to support family life, but also support families, because it means that we can go to them at a time that suits them and they're not trying to fit into our touring schedule. So we do it a couple times and then we come back to normal life, day-to-day life, and then go away again. So by the time, often we've done two gigs in each location, and the second gig always just feels like we've arrived a bit more. And so I really can't wait to do the show 6 days in a row and to see how that's going to feel and how we're going to feel dancing and moving through that performance and just engaging with the audiences. Made in Scotland are doing an awful lot of work at bringing international programmers into the show, because there's the potential for me to apply for funding next year for onward touring. So really excites me. I would love for A Journey of Light to have a life after this year. So even just the possibility of that is really, really exciting. And I'd almost love to follow the migratory pattern of the bird. I think that would be so cool. So I'm really excited about that. And we're doing a house swap to Edinburgh. So my whole family is coming with me, and I'm really excited about that, and taking the twins to see some shows in Edinburgh and show them the walking around the meadows then, because it'll just be very different from our life up here. And hopefully that'll feel like a nice trip away for all of us, even though I'm working a lot through it.
So that was Catherine Gordon talking all about the story of A Journey of Light, a dance piece. Well, I mean, the one good thing about the way that the Fringe programme works is it's in that part of the programme called Dance, Physical Theatre and Circus. It's kind of defies genre a bit by the sounds of things in terms of how it's going to look this year.
Yeah. And she talked a lot about how, you know, it started off quite small, and you know, doing it in like sort of community centres and bringing it more to a wider scope in terms of Edinburgh and a show recently in Glasgow too. And it's really great to see work within Scotland that has also been cultivated by, you know, Scottish place at fair, you know, Scottish opportunities like Made in Scotland.
Go more international, just from overseas. And in some way, I can see there's more support for overseas artists coming to Edinburgh, so to speak, than there is for artists maybe here to really thrive in the festival. But this, sounds like a good example of the power of Made in Scotland in all its best aspects of it. So it is 2:30 in Dance Space, 50 minutes long. Go give it a go. And we will see you in some of the future episodes. So there's loads more episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever you hear this. You can find out more about the project at labelsessions.com or all of our social handles. See you next time.